WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The so-called shopping cart killer will serve life in prison for his crimes. We continue to explore some of the flurry of vetoes Governor Spanberger issued last week. And President Trump considers a health care bill introduced by the late Virginia Representative Jerry Connolly. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, Memorial Day, May 25th. Anthony Eugene Robinson was sentenced to life in prison on Friday for the murders of two women in Harrisonburg in 2021, whose bodies he transported in a shopping cart and concealed on an undeveloped lot. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
Last year, Robinson was convicted of murdering Aileen Beth Redman and Tanita Larice Smith. The jury found him guilty of two counts of first-degree murder, two counts of aggravated murder for killing multiple people within 3 years, and two counts of concealing a dead body. Robinson is also wanted for another woman's murder in Washington, D.C., and suspected of killing two more women in Fairfax in cases with a similar modus operandi. Ahead of Friday's sentencing hearing, public defender Abigail Thibault filed a memorandum asking the judge to suspend all but 30 years of that sentence, arguing that he is not a monster and, quote, whatever happened in 2021 cannot define Mr. Robinson's life. The document lays out many more details about his life than came out at trial. Growing up, Robinson moved around the D.C. Maryland area with his mother and two younger sisters. In 2014, Robinson was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. His attorney noted that Robinson remains close with his family, who were present in the courtroom Friday, as were members of Redman and Smith's families. Commonwealth's attorney Marcia Garst read a letter from Smith's 12-year-old daughter. Quote, "Some things never really heal," she wrote. "Most girls get years and years to learn who their mom is. My mom was more than just the victim in this case. She was my home." Garst argued, "The defense states he is not a monster. Well, then I ask the court, who is?" She showed the judge autopsy photos of the women, pointing out their injuries and where Robinson's DNA was found. Robinson declined to speak before Judge Bruce D. Albertson decided the verdict. Albertson sentenced Robinson to life in prison for both aggravated murder charges, plus 5 years for each concealing charge. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
A longer version of this story with links to more information is at WMRA.org and on our app. The Virginia Department of Transportation is testing a new congestion warning system on Interstate 64 over Afton Mountain to enhance safety for motorists traveling through the corridor. In a news release, VDOT officials said the system is now live. While testing is taking place, it is expected to be fully operational this summer. Governor Abigail Spanberger took differing approaches to immigration policy last week, drawing some praise but also frustration. Karis Manzanares with VPM News has more.
Virginia's governor signed into law a bill requiring the unmasking of law enforcement officers while carrying out official duties in the Commonwealth. It includes federal immigration agents. At the same time, Spanberger rejected a measure that would have limited warrantless immigration arrests in protected spaces like schools, courthouses, and polling locations. Instead, she issued an executive order directing state agencies to develop guidance for, quote, sensitive locations. But Chris Kaiser, policy director for the ACLU of Virginia, says the order is not a replacement for what the vetoed bill would have done.
All it talks about is putting out guidance on best practices for employees at those locations. But it doesn't say we're trying to protect people from ICE arrests without warrants. That's what the bill was after. So it's unclear to us how the executive order would be any kind of substitute.
Spanberger's split decision leaves immigration advocates celebrating one victory while warning that broader protections are being left on the table.
Karis Manzanares reporting. Among the avalanche of vetoes by Spanberger last week was an offer that would have given those with behavioral health issues more protections if they have run-ins with law enforcement. Radio IQ's Brad Kuttner reports.
According to the governor's veto statement, a Democratic-led effort to add new protections for those with behavioral health issues, mental illness, developmental disabilities, dementia, and the like, when facing charges for assaulting an officer, would do more harm than good. This bill would effectively create a new legal standard applicable to just one criminal charge for a specific group of people, risking increased confusion and inconsistencies. Spanberger said the governor had allies in the veto, including the Virginia Association of Commonwealth Attorneys. Nathan Green, the CA for James City County, told a Senate Justice Committee this bill could create process issues.
We just get notice that they're going to use a mental health defense, but no evidence of the report or who the expert is.
But Rob Pogenclass with Justice Forward said the effort was narrowly tailored and would have provided an alternative to existing law, which carries a mandatory minimum of 6 months in jail.
These are the cases that involve very little contact with the officer, if any at all. We're talking about the most vulnerable populations.
And developmental disabilities advocate Tanya Milling with the ARC of Virginia said the effort was the product of years of work and even got bipartisan support when it went through the Senate chamber.
We can support law enforcement and still recognize that disability-related crises require a different response.
Milling said the ARC is willing to work with the governor to get the effort to a place where she can support it in 2027. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Finally today, President Trump is considering a bill that was introduced by the late Congressman Jerry Connolly, who died last year. Also with Radio IQ, Michael Pope has the details.
It's called the Gerald E. Connolly Esophageal Cancer Awareness Act, and it directs the Government Accountability Office to report on esophageal cancer care, early screening, and healthcare spending for federal employees. The House passed the bill last summer, and the Senate passed it on the one-year anniversary of his death. Congressman James Walkinshaw was Connolly's chief of staff, and he's now representing the 11th Congressional District.
It was nice to have something to celebrate and to help remember him by. It was his last legislative act. You know, he was ranked the most effective legislator in the House and passed dozens and dozens of pieces of legislation. This is the final one that he introduced before he passed away. So, you know, really glad to see it moving.
Dr. Tim Cannon is an oncology specialist who treated Connolly.
I really think there needs to be a large-scale project to focus on the molecular origins and do studies that go beyond just DNA and RNA analysis, because those have not been very revealing for esophageal cancers.
Walkinshaw says the bill is likely to be signed in a batch of routine, non-controversial pieces of legislation, perhaps an ironic capstone for the late congressman who was anything but routine and non-controversial. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Monday.